What's up, family? I'm Juan Castillo, and when I'm on social media, my favorite show to watch is the Don't Shoot the Messenger weekly podcast. Chris G, Professional Sutton, Rucker Report delivers sports the way it's supposed to be, real and authentic. So get ready to be entertained. My boys are ready. I'm ready. Let's go.
The cameras are on, and zeros are on the clock. Get ready for the realest, most authentic, most entertaining sports podcast there is. You may think you know sports, but they know sports and speak the truth. Here to bring you that truth
is your Big Three.
Give it up for Professional Sutton, Chris G, and the Rucker Report. Jersey. There's nothing to debate when the message is this clear.
Welcome
to the Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast.
Welcome to another. I'm sorry, I'm eating over here. Welcome to another edition of Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. I'm your boy, Professional Sutton,
and I'm your boy, Chris G.
On behalf of the Rucker Report, Jersey.
Mercy.
Chris, what's good, man?
Man, I'm over here chilling, figadelling, getting ready for this big game today. You know what I mean? I know all my 49er friends are excited, yes, anxious.
We are.
So, you know, I'm hoping that they have a good night, but I put my money on the Chiefs. Well, let's get it going.
Listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm just sharing this, by the way, man. So apologize if I'm looking down at everyone. I'm excited. Nervous too, can't lie. But nonetheless, I am excited. But before I start that, man, I definitely want to send a shout out to our sponsor, 94.3 WYBC.
The Rhythm of the City.
And I know Uncle Juan will be watching. I know he's ready. He hit me up as soon as we won a few weeks ago. Said, how you feel? I said, I'm nervous. Can't lie. Aaron Fleming is on the check-in. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is something special for Aaron.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
And anytime I see Aaron's going for a team, I'm not a betting man, but I'm definitely putting my money anywhere on the opposite of what Aaron's doing.
I know Aaron was feeling good last night, though, on that Warrior game.
Listen, man, it's just a matter of time before him and Chris Paul bad luck that team. But anyway, you know.
I'm just saying, I know he was feeling good last night. That was a phenomenal game. That's 2 weeks in a row that Steph put on a show on Saturday night primetime basketball.
All that for nothing. Because, again, with Chris Paul and Aaron on your side, you're going to lose. But anyway, I'm not hating. I'm just saying. You know.
Sound like it a little bit.
No, I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just saying what a lot of people don't want to say. You know what I mean? All we got is my man decided on. He's a Golden State Warrior fan too, man. You know what I mean? So he was happy.
Oh, yeah. It was, since we on it for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, and please, one of y'all correct me if I'm wrong. The last time Steph Curry hit a shot on KD like that was on the day before the Super Bowl when they played OKC. Mm. And he hit that 40-footer in OKC. Am I right on that? I feel like I'm right on that.
Yeah, you might be on to something, Chris. We might be on to something.
I feel like I'm on to that. You know, if Steph isn't anything, he's a motherfucking showman. Oh, yeah. All of the time. And boy, he put on the show last night. Devin Booker did too. No shade. Devin Booker was balling last night.
Again, he said, I think you're right, Chris. I mean, Aaron don't forget nothing. You know what I mean? He might be bad luck. He got good memory.
I'm just saying, it was reminiscent of the Warriors versus the Westbrook, Kevin Durant, OKC Thunder. That was the 72-9 year, I believe.
That was the year that made KD quit and come to the Warriors, right?
Yeah, Yeah. Okay.
My girl, my girl Christina Building. Now, man, she's an after Chiefs, she's a Titans fan. Go 49ers. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, man. But before we get into the Super Bowl prediction, man, Chris wanted to bring up a point. If you guys don't know, the NCAA has been upset, mainly coaches, because a lot of these kids are really deciding and are smart to say, hey, we are a business. And guess what we're going to do as a business? We're going to make some goddamn money. My LB Harlem in the building. What up, man? Drop a bomb for him, man. Yeah, I had a special co-host for the day.
Yo, what up?
Harlem, you can't co-host, man, because you know you got to take care of the baby right now. I don't want to get you in trouble, man. You know what I'm saying? My sister might not let you out, man. But, Chris, I want you to talk about this topic, man, of the NCAA and how, you know, it just these hating.
You know what? It's not even, I'm not even getting on the NCAA so much.
No?
It's the coaches.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's the coaches who are whining and complaining that, you know, some decided to retire. Some decided to, you know, get out the business altogether and try to go to the NFL. It's these coaches who've been getting fat while everybody starved for years.
For years. 4 years.
Making money, being flexible. And the only thing they had to do, I mean, they had so much control over a player that, you know, a player could get, they could recruit a player to their team. They could then not play that player. Mm-hmm. And then make a list of teams when that kid wanted to transfer. The transfer portal was a lot tougher, too.
Yes, it was.
To transfer back in the day. Then they can make a list of teams that kid can't go to. Hmm. Mm. Since this power has been stripped from them, only thing I hear is them complaining. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry that you got to manage these kids now and you can't just do whatever the fuck you want and they're getting paid. I just got no sympathy for these coaches. I'm listening to who I like, by the way. I'm listening to the Maryland head coach. He was talking about how his third string running back is coming to him, telling him, you know, if he don't get $100,000 in the NIL deal, he's going to transfer. And he's like, I'm just sitting in my office dumbfounded. Like, they took this once pure sport, and now this team sport, and now they're making it about them. I mean, it was about just coaches for years. Like, get off that team shit. Y'all been getting fat while they starved for years. Now they're finally able to speak up for themselves. They're finally able to get some compensation of what they're worth. There's money on the table. Don't tell me there ain't money on the table. I just seen Ohio State. Shout out. I just seen Ohio State trustees, alumni, boosters put up $50-something million to bring guys back, to get guys to come near and funnel it in the NIL deal. Y'all got it? Y'all be all right? Y'all be all right? Because if I'm not mistaken, every time a team like Maryland, they get a team like Maryland reaps the benefits from team like Ohio State and Michigan. They get money just because Ohio State or Michigan are into the playoff tournament, win a national championship, win a bowl game. They get money off of that because they're in the Big Ten. It's collective. You got to be. You be all right. And if you don't got the $100,000, he a third string running back. You don't need him anyway. Let that man go get paid somewhere else. Fuck your debt. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And I'm happy. And I know it's the Wild Wild West. And it's always the Wild Wild West when it's a gold rush or oil rush and all of these new, you know, new rules. Let these players eat, man.
Can't even hear me, Chris. My bad. They can't. I'm on mute going in.
My fault. Because I can hear you. My bad. Shout out to my brothers, both my brothers, Rel in the building, Ruck in the building.
Ruck, what's good, man? I know that people are like, yo, I can't hear him. Now we can hear. So my thing is, I don't care about, you know, any of this. Nick Saban was a catalyst to this. Nick Saban, you know, allowed a lot of this. So a lot of coaches felt like they can speak up because of Nick Saban. But now these players, like you said, it's a wild, wild west. But why not benefit off of it? Deion Sanders' son just bought him a brand new house. Come on now. Some of these players are actually being able to eat and have good health insurance because of that. Think about that, Chris. This is a sport where a lot of these kids didn't have good health insurance, but they're playing a barbarian sport. But they had to like sit this out forever. Think about that.
I'm in total agreement with you. I just want these kids mostly to just be compensated for the work that I know that they put in.
Right. Because, you know what I mean? Because and last point, I just want to say something before I forget. If correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, these players are doing exactly what professional athletes are doing when it comes to press. Right. When it comes to kissing babies and, you know, and promoting the school. Right. Aren't these players doing that, Chris?
They very much are. They very much are.
So I don't want to hear nobody talking about something that it's not fair. When it is fair. It's just that these players are finding ways to make more money. Now we have an issue. And let's be real. Again, Chris, we this is a discussion we've been having on our show for years. If you are a Don't Shoot the Messenger, you know, longtime listener, you know we had this conversation. There's always issue when it's minorities, and you know, and minorities, I mean, Hispanic, Black, you know, of Asian descent. There's always a problem when it's these people win, okay? But when everybody else is winning. I hear no peeps out of golf players because these players, they can go to the PGA and they can come back as much as they want to. They can play in the Olympics. They can get sponsorships and nothing. Okay? Long distance runner in track. They let these people eat. But as soon as the 100 meters or the 200 meters or where it's predominantly African-American or people of color, okay, now we got to put a kibosh on this. Baseball, look at baseball. Baseball, you can go to the draft. And if you don't like your, you know, your draft, you can say, hey, I'm going to declare and I'm going to play 3 years of college. And then I'm going to go back into the pool. Come on now. I'm just saying.
You ain't lying.
Just saying.
You ain't lying.
So what do you think is going to happen, Chris? Like, I know, like you said, it's the Wild Wild West and it's a lot going on. Again, this is Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast, by the way. And it's a lot going on, and you know, again, it's going to get better before it gets worse. Unfortunately, for a lot of these players, you know, usually it gets worse before it gets better, but it's going to get worse, and then I'm sure it get better. What do you think and predict will happen, Chris?
Well, I do think they're going to try to do something where they put like some type of a cap on NIL. They're going to do some type of tier system. I think, or they're going to do something in the transfer portal to restrict that a bit more. But the thing that gets me what it is, and this is, what's his name?
Who's this?
He does a Big Noon Football with Gus Edwards.
I know you're talking about. I'll look it up. Go ahead.
Used to be the quarterback for Colorado back in the day. He had made a great point one time. He said, you know, years ago, before the NIL, before the transfer portal, that some people smarter than us came to the NCAA and they said, look, this stuff is gonna happen down the pipe.
Rob Stone?
No.
Okay. You said for Colorado?
He was a quarterback for Colorado back in the day. He was like that basically that this day was gonna come. And he, what he did was he was telling them it'll behoove you guys to get out ahead of it right now. Mm-hmm. If you get out ahead of it, you know what I mean? Get some structure, get some, you know, you can make money like this, you can make money like this, but you can't make money like this. If you, you know, do some type of a system for transfer portals so that, you know, you could transfer here, but, you know, you only get so many or whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. They had been brought this up to NCAA. What did the NCAA say?
Oh, man, please. This should never happen. We're going to get our way forever. Oh, because Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart.
No.
No?
White. Okay. He's white.
Oh.
He's white.
Well, I know Brady, like, but he played for Notre Dame, though.
He was no, not Cordell Stewart. White dude. Like I said, he do Big Noon. He does the Big Noon games with Gus.
Okay. Okay, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Not Gus Edwards. That's the running back. His name is
I know you're talking about my man Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gus Johnson. He does it with.
Okay.
I'll and I'm just flaking on his name right now.
We got him. Go ahead.
Joe Klatt.
Joe Klatt. Joe Klatt.
Joe Klatt.
Joe Klatt.
It was gonna eat me up. Joe Klatt. And you know what? NCAA being all and mighty, we want all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want them to be able to get money, even if it's not coming out of our pockets. By the way, the money that these kids get still don't come out of the NCAA pocket.
No, it don't.
It's just the FYI. But that's all I got.
Listen, I know that's a subject.
I'm going to need a second.
Huh?
I'll be right back. I'm going to need a second.
Go ahead. Do your thing, man. Do your thing, man. Do your thing. I know that's a topic that Chris been wanting to talk about for the last, you know, few weeks. But, you know, we just been so heavily entrenched in this NFL and NBA. But, you know, I agree. You know, NCAA is going to be in for a rude awakening when they realize that they cannot get their way. And they aren't getting their way. You know, they aren't getting their way. They are seeing that, hey, players going to get what they want, whether you like it or not. And I love it. I freaking love it. And to be honest with you, I hope that it continues to be this way. Because you got coaches who can literally leave in the middle of the season and not explain a damn thing to these kids. They can just, you know, come and go as they please and get as much money as they want. Lie to a kid and say, hey, I'm going to be here for all 4 years. And they're not even there for 4 minutes. So, you know, I don't think there should be a cap for players unless there's a cap for coaches. Like, you can't transfer to another school, you know, for 4 years or something, or even two. You got to at least stay with your recruits, you know, find out what's going on. But they won't do that, you know, because if they do that, then players are going to, you know, say, hey, this is what we want. But keep doing your thing, players. Keep doing your thing. Keep doing your thing. Keep doing your thing. Now, as far as me, man, if y'all don't know, I'm a huge San Francisco 49er fan, and I am excited. And I'm also nervous. I won't lie. I will not lie to you and say I'm not. I am definitely nervous having to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the only reason why I'm nervous, and again, I'm saying this to all y'all, is because Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they kind of got our number a little bit. They really do. And last time we played them was, I believe, was it last year or 2 years ago? And we had Chris McCaffrey, but Chris McCaffrey, Chris McCaffrey just got it, you know, just got there. Brock wasn't fully acclimated to the system. So it was a tough loss that we took from the Chiefs at that time. But I will say we did a wonderful job of going on a crazy game winning streak. Brandon was good. Brandon said, Chris went to go drop a deuce after flaking on people's name. Well, he did say that his stomach was kind of, I apologize for the off and on flickering. He did say that, you know, his stomach was hurting. So, Brandon, you might be on to something. You might be on to something. Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. My bad. There we go. I'm back. Again, I apologize for technical difficulties. However, what I want to say is, people asking me, what do you feel about your San Francisco 49ers right now? I said, I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very nervous. Our defense has been atrocious the last, I don't know, five games. We really have. We've been able to come back. But again, with a team like Kansas City, you cannot take any plays off because Pat Mahomes, and even our defense right now, has been hot. That Kansas City Chiefs defense has been red hot. And I told people, again, I'm going to bring it up again in week 10, that the Kansas City Chiefs are not done yet. They are still Super Bowl contenders. And people say, you are crazy. How can you say that? I said, because they've been here before. Not too many teams can say that. But the Kansas City Chiefs, they've been here before, so they know what to expect. They know how to turn it on later on in the season. And to, you know, kind of save some of the juices for the playoffs. And that's what they did. You know, they were underdogs against the Bills. They were underdogs against the Ravens. And they're not, I don't want to say they're underdogs against the 49ers. I'm not saying that. I think that Vegas just have us a point and a half ahead of them. But I don't think many people have us as the victors. Because a lot of people are just handing Kansas City the trophy, which I appreciate, right? I want to go in as underdogs. San Francisco 49ers, we play better as underdogs. You know, I don't know what it is. If you look at every game that we were favored to win, we end up losing it this season. We had a three-game losing streak, and that was to the Browns. That was to the Vikings. You know, so it was definitely one of those, you know, seasons where we were favored to win a lot, but we lost, you know, and I think that had a lot to do with our injuries, not having Debo, not having Trent Williams, and just Brock still learning the game. And those losses, we only scored 17 points. Now, one thing about the playoffs that has been helpful for us is that we faced adversity, but I don't want to face adversity. I really just want to go in there, pound the ball, and win, right? Like, Kyle Shanahan has to devise a plan to make sure that Christian McCaffrey gets at least 15 to more touches. And if you look at statistically when we do that, that's when we're usually successful. And I don't understand for the life of me why the Baltimore Ravens chose not to continue to run the ball, and they were having success with it when they were playing, you know, against the Chiefs. I don't understand why not. But nonetheless, you know, statistics show that Chiefs are bad when it comes to running the ball. I mean, you know, their run defense. But that doesn't mean nothing when it's time to play the game. That really does not mean anything. And I think that one thing you have to understand is that Pat Mahomes has been here. Travis Kelce has been here. Andy Reid has been here. And I make a lot of parallels to Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan because I remember when Kyle Shanahan, you know, was in Atlanta. And he was the next big thing. And look, you know, 28-3. Also playing the Chiefs in 2020. You know, when we were up by 10. And then look what happened. Andy Reid, when you talk about Philly, he couldn't get over the hump until he got a good quarterback to kind of help mold the team. And so it's very interesting to see what Kyle's going to do. And for me, out of everyone, I want to see how Kyle's going to call the offense. What is Kyle's sense of urgency going to be tonight? Is it going to be wait, hold up, or is he going to let the dogs loose? He's going to have to let the dogs loose, but we will see. And we finally got us a quarterback who can, you know, put us in a position. Now, I'm not saying he's Joe Montana. I'm not saying he's Steve Young, but I think that game manager has been used as a negative talk for a lot of quarterbacks because it's okay to be a game manager, if you're winning. Tom Brady was a game manager early in his career until he learned the system, till he learned the game, and then he learned how to, you know, play on his own. He learned how to check down and how to make audibles, which is making him one of the best ever. So, far as Brock, he just had to play his game and just see the field, not get too anxious, not get too worked up, you know, just doing what he do. So, that's what I'm looking forward to, man. That's what I'm looking forward to. So, I'm going to take a quick timeout. I'm going to check on my brother Chris, make sure he's good. Again, you are tuning to another edition of Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. This is our Super Bowl edition right here.
What's up, family? I'm Juan Castillo, and when I'm on social media, my favorite show to watch is the Don't Shoot the Messenger weekly podcast. Chris G, Professional Sutton, Rucker Report delivers sports the way it's supposed to be, real and authentic. So get ready to be entertained. My boys are ready. I'm ready. Let's go.
The cameras are on, and zeros are on the clock. Get ready for the realest, most authentic, most entertaining sports podcast there is. You may think you know sports, but they know sports and speak the truth. Here to bring you that truth
is your Big Three.
Give it up for Professional Sutton, Chris G, and the Rucker Report. Jersey. There's nothing to debate when the message is this clear.
Welcome
to the Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast.
Welcome back. Again, my partner Chris Duty's called, so he had to go and handle that. So I just want to take a quick time out. Usually we don't take a time out in between our show, but since I'm alone and I'm dolo, and I know Chris is gonna come back, I just wanted to, you know, put a pause for the calls. Also, want to shout out my guy, my brother, the Rucker Report. He's down right now. I know he's listening. I gave him a call earlier. So without my guys, man, doing DSTM, it feels like unseasoned fried chicken. Yeah, you know, it's edible, but nah, you need that kick to it. So I'm just holding it down until Chris come back. He's, you know, letting things go in there, if you know what I mean. He's having a good time. But I was just talking about the San Francisco 49ers and the keys and, you know, what they should do. Now, I'm going to move on to the Chiefs. You know, I can't be biased on this show. Now, I can be biased in real life. I can be, but, you know, I want to be real. I think that the keys to the Chiefs winning tonight is just making sure they are catching San Francisco 49ers out in that man coverage. San Francisco 49ers man coverage is not as good as, you know, they once were earlier in the season. And I think that Pat Mahomes, he does so well when it comes to man, you know, coverage, because he can pick it apart. You know, he can let you run down the field, chase his receivers all over the place, and then boom, he's running for a big gain. And I think in zone, that's where there's, you know, having that problem of him picking his spots, you know, having a tight end like Travis Kelce, that's where you can really shine in zone, because you can just pop him anywhere and he's going to find a way to get it done. I know, Chrissy, I have to make sure I am, you know, good, man. I try not to be biased. I'm just saying what I, you know, what's up. My man, what's going on? D, how you been, man? Yo, you got to hit me up, man. It's been a minute. But again, I mean, you know, when it when it comes to the Chiefs, they're going to have to find a way to continue to get that run game going. A lot of play actions and to get 49ers out of position. Because again, like I said, 49ers man coverage is just not that good. Just not that good. And you can exploit a defense like that, having a very mobile quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, because you just got to make sure that, you know, everyone is open. And if they're not, guess what? You can run. I know he said this is a free, a Mahomes free channel. Yes, it is. I'm just doing my due diligence. Do I like to talk about it, Christy? No, like I said, it's like unseasoned fried chicken. Ugh. You know, you could put a little something on it later, but right now, you know, it's just, it would do. But I'm trying to be PC here. You know, I'm trying to be politically correct for everyone. Now, if you notice, I got on my UConn shirt because, you know, UConn playing that in a few minutes, you know, so I got to make sure that I represent too, man. My man Chris G is back, man.
I'm back.
My man Chris G.
Back like cooked crack.
I know, man. Speaking of crack, man, I think everybody kind of figured out what you had to go do, man. But it's all good, man.
I've been having some stomach issues.
Uh-huh. Talk to him.
Since this morning, since last night. But that Mylanta.
Oh, it helped you out? Hey, man, let's drop a bomb for Chris dropping a bomb, man.
Oh, drop them bombs. Drop them bombs.
Hold on.
Let me tell you something. Bombs was being dropped.
Yes. So
an aerial assault.
Literally. Now nothing's some ever clear. Can't fix. Yeah, man. Hey, man. You gotta get a flush. So I was just talking about the keys for the 49ers and the Chiefs. I know Christy didn't like that. She said this is a Mahomes free channel, but I told her I gotta be PC, man. Like, I gotta make sure that I'm representing each side right here. I can't just be biased all throughout the show. I can be, but without you not being here, Chris, I had to put on my journalist hat. Okay. So I was just talking about real quick. I'm just going to summarize for you. I said, when it comes to the 49ers, in order for them to be successful, they're going to have to run the ball and make sure that Chris McCaffrey get the ball at least 15 plus times. Also, that defense is going to have to step up, especially when you know, man coverage. Because man coverage for the 49ers has been atrocious for the past seven games. And I think that someone like Patrick Mahomes can and will exploit that if it's not adjusted. So for the 49ers, I think that they got to run the ball. That run game helps to open up the passing game. For the Chiefs, I think that just playing their game, because having a tight end like Travis Kelce, you can play in zone. And he can sit where he needs to be. And guess what? You know, you're going to have him there. So that's my keys, man. Again, that's what I was saying. I didn't give a final score. I'm going to let you figure it. You know, you say your thing, then I'm going to get the final score, because UConn women are playing, so I got to support my women. But for you, Chris, I don't know, man. What is your keys for both teams? What's your keys for the Niners and what's your keys for the Chiefs?
I would say, you know, for the Chiefs, defense, you know, it's crazy. A Mahomes-led team, and the first thing out my mouth, defense. That defense that they got is legit.
Yes, it is.
Not only can they get pressure on the quarterback, they have a lockdown DB. I think they need to go into this game similar to how they went against the Ravens. Try to get out early and lean on that defense to protect the lead. They're good enough. Now, unlike the Ravens, the Niners do have a multitude of weapons that they can go to. If Ayuk ain't working, which most of the time he not.
He was working last game now.
Did he get his over-under on receiving yards? No.
I don't care about that.
No. So, but, you know, if Ayuk ain't working, go to Kittle. If Kittle ain't working, go to Debo. If Debo ain't working, go to Christian. They just got so many different facets of the game that they can hit you with. It might put a strain on that defense. So we might have to get a Mahomes gunslinging, put these other receivers to the test game. Now, from an Andy Reid perspective, you know, keep the ball, limit the turnovers, rely on that defense, get a score, make it uncomfortable. But if I'm the 49ers, man, yo, anybody but Kelce.
Yep.
I am doubling Kelce. I'm going to make you make Valdez-Scantley beat me.
I'm going to make you make Kadarius Toney.
I don't think he's playing. Oh, but okay. I'm going to make you make Simeon Rice. Or those is the guys that's going to beat me. Travis Kelce. Simeon Rice, Simone Rice, whatever that nigga name is, something Rice.
Simeon Rice played for the Bucks back in the day. Jerry Rice. Simon Rice. It's Simon.
Yo,
Rice.
Jerry Rice. In a minute, Rice. Cook easy rice. Chinese pork fried rice.
Yo, chill.
The San Francisco treat rice, whatever that nigga name is.
Yo,
them's the ones that gotta beat me, man.
Yeah,
I'm not letting Travis and Pacheco. I'm loading up, I'm stacking the box, and I'm doubling Travis. All right, where you other niggas at? Mm-hmm. If I'm San Fran, because I know you can't do that to me if I'm San Fran offense. I know you can't just lie. You can take Christian McCaffrey away. Cool. We got other stuff to go to. You can take Debo away. Cool. We got other stuff to go to. The thing that the Chiefs got, and it's a proven commodity, is Mahomes to Kelce. Yep. Taking that away.
Yeah, I agree.
If Bill Belichick was on this squad, he would say, the one person who not beating me is Travis Kelce.
Agree. And one thing I would say about, you know, Steve Wilkes, what he has been putting together the past few weeks is he's made great adjustments at halftime, okay? When you talk about Green Bay, you know, Jordan Love was looking like, you know, Aaron Rodgers out there, okay? Aaron Jones was looking like, you know, Ahmad Brooks, okay? Sure. You know, and then last week you had, you know, the freaking Lions looking like Barry Sanders was backing that motherfucker. That's what it's looking like. That's what it's looking like. But Steve Wilkes said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stack the box. And also, what he also does so well, that he doesn't get enough credit for, again, and he was doing well in Carolina too. And I know, you know, he got out of Carolina, which is good. But he disguises defense so well that even when you think you have the Niners, you don't. And it was a good breakdown on that. You know, looking at Jared Goff. And the reason why Jared Goff was looking like, yo, what's going on, is because the Niners was doing so well of disguising the defense that Jared Goff thought that they were in zone, but they were in man. And when he thought that they were in man, they were in zone. When he thought they were in cover two, they were in cover three. And that's what's going to happen with the San Francisco 49ers and the Chiefs. And if the 49ers are really, you know, doing a reach, which I know Kyle is, I know everybody keep calling him this offensive guru, I'm not going to give it to him yet until he wins a Super Bowl. But if you look at how the Lions played, the Chiefs, the Packers, a lot of these teams, they disguised a lot of defenses. And they made it hard for Patrick Mahomes to set and get his guys that he really wanted to get. And that's what's going to be the key for the San Francisco 49ers tonight. And Chris, I ain't never root for Ohio State as much as I root for them tonight, okay?
You want them Ohio State boys to get out.
I need them boys to play like they're playing against Alabama, okay? I need that pressure off the edge, and I need the two big boys in the middle, Armstead and Hargrave, to say, nah. Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have to go sideline to sideline here. And like you said, we doubling Kelce, and also we need to blitz more. Like, we're going to have to be aggressive, and that's how the Buccaneers were able to beat the Chiefs. They were aggressive. And football is simple, right? If you got more guys coming than you can block, guess what? It's gonna be difficult for you. Well, I know. I know. I'm bringing up Alabama. Listen, they beat Alabama. Okay.
Here's the thing.
They beat Alabama. I love it.
Here's the thing. There's a reason why people don't blitz Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
Because he makes you pay.
He makes you pay. But you know what?
He makes you pay.
But this year, is what.
But you guys have the line to apply pressure without the blitz. And that's exactly what you need. Nah, you need Nick Bosa. You need Chase Young coming after him without having to bring the house. Because if you bring the house, it's why they don't blitz Aaron Rodgers. It's why they don't blitz. It's why they didn't blitz Tom Brady. It's why they didn't blitz Peyton Manning. You blitz him, he's gonna know that you're gonna blitz. He's gonna make you pay. So that's a double-edged sword that you're messing with right now, buddy.
Well, I think that can be executed as long as we have the game within reach, and I mean out of reach for them, and we just applying pressure. You know, like that has to be something where we know, you know, it's fourth quarter. And even if it's third quarter, like, you know, we got to mix it up because you want him to see something like, oh, I seen that last time and they're going to come at me. And then you drop back. You know, like you're going to have to outthink Patrick Mahomes. Like when it comes to our defense, Fred Warner's going to have to make adjustments. He's going to have to be our quarterback out there and say, hey, no, we're not going to blitz. Yes, we need to blitz right now. Like we're going to have to take chances because if we don't take chances, then we are going to be demolished. And also, one thing that Patrick Mahomes and like Brady and a lot of quarterbacks who, you know, who are great, by the way, they don't like when the defensive line twists. It makes it hard for the offensive line to really, you know, get in that set blocking position. Because when you got the guy coming here and then you got a guy coming here, usually the offensive line, they bump into each other, their feet stumble, you know. But again, the Chiefs are a well-oiled machine to come to blocking. But I am nervous. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I ain't going to sit here and lie to you and bullshit you and be like, oh, well, are we going to win this? No. Now, Vegas got us by 1.5, okay? I don't – that shit is out the window. But the rest of the world is just giving the Chiefs the trophy. Like I said earlier, Chris, when you were taking care of business – I said, they already giving the Chiefs the Super Bowl. Like, we're just participants in the Super Bowl. That's how they got it. That's how it's looking.
You are standing in the way of Patrick Mahomes' greatness.
Yes. But here's the thing, though. Okay? Whenever the 49ers are underdogs, they play like dogs. We don't like to be favored. We don't. And anytime the Chiefs are favorite and heavily favorite to win, a lot of times they lose. Because you got the Joe Thoreau Burrow who said, let me tell you something, brother. Nah, it ain't happening. Okay?
Well, let me tell you something. Joe Burrow ain't walking through that door.
But guess what? But
Joe Burrow ain't walking through that door.
Glock Purdy is. Okay? All right? You're going to fix your face, Chris.
Look, I hope you feel like this. Third quarter.
No, I won't. Okay?
Because I would love for people to know what you were saying about Brock Purdy during that NFC Championship game.
Let me tell you something. I'm talking shit. Get him out of here. Okay? Him. Okay? Elvis Gerback. Okay? You know? Jeff Garcia. Get him out of here. Jimmy, go. I was talking cold cash shit, and I'm a man. I'm a stand on what I was saying, get him out of here. But if it wasn't for Chris, my guy. Chris got the script to every game. I don't think y'all heard me. Chris got the script. This is what Chris told me, okay? He called me at halftime. Or did I call you, Chris? Which one?
I called you.
He called me. He said, hey, it's not over. I said, what game are you watching? Again, this is verbatim. I don't even know what I said. That was out of my mind. He said, let me tell you what needs to happen, okay? You guys going to get the ball, and you need to score, whether it be a field goal or it be a touchdown, okay? He said, then once you guys do that, then you back in the game. You stop them. Once you stop them, you go and score again because you're going to score. Okay. And then He didn't even mention nothing about the fumble. He said, but something's going to happen for y'all. It needs something to happen so you guys stay in the game. And then the fumble happened. And then he said, look, you guys, he said, if y'all stop them here, the game is over for them. And I said, this nigga tripping.
Our kicker, he's been saying he's been sketchy all year. Chris been saying that. And that's that. Not because he's a Michigan kicker, but he has been saying that.
It contributes to the factors.
So Chris goes, yo, it's over for them. I said, nah, Chris, it ain't over. Because you know me, man, I'm a humble guy, and I seen shit happen. He said, yo, it's over for them. Y'all got the momentum. It's done. And then, you know, they score again. But Chris is like, yo, it's over. Chris, I want to thank Chris for calling the game. And the way he can call it, Chris has been right. Now, if you notice, I'm prolonging the ending of the game and the score because I know who Chris is going for. Okay, I know who Chris is going for. Chris doesn't go with his heart. He goes with the money. Okay, and the money is going for the Chiefs.
The money.
So now I'm so for me, I'm stupid stitious, and I say stupid because, you know, I'm not playing for the Niners, but I just feel like if I don't do certain things, then I ain't gonna win. Okay, so I have this app, beautiful. You can watch four things at once. And I was upstairs with my wife, but I had come downstairs because we was getting blown out. It was over.
Your wife, Faith, never wavered.
Never, whatever. Well, because she hasn't been 49ers fan, you know, forever. So anyway, I'm watching the game on my little screen. I'm watching the History Channel on a big screen, and I'm watching my 49ers on a little screen. And every time I would put them on a big screen, it'd be incomplete pass. So I kept them on a little screen that whole time. And the whole game, I watched the game, and we came back. And now, mind you, I watched it with no sound. So Chris is texting, but I couldn't answer Chris' text because every time he texts, something good would happen because he was a few seconds ahead of me. So I didn't get to see what Chris was saying because I couldn't. I just see six messages that were here. But I knew something good was happening. He said, listen, it sounds like Candlestick. And Chris is a former 49ers fan, okay?
Former.
He said, It's rocking like Candlestick. And I can just see, you know, when, like, the game's good and it's shaking. And it was shaking. And because they kept having to switch between cameras because it was shaking that much. And then I seen the fumble. I'm telling you what, I was damn near about to cry. I ain't going to lie to you.
Yeah, you was.
I was about to cry. I was so happy. So that's why today I'm nervous, but also like I feel like it's a good feeling. Like it's like whatever happened, but I just feel something is going to happen for us today. I really do. Like I really do, because every game, every Super Bowl, we were heavily favored. We were supposed to beat the Raiders. We didn't. We were supposed to beat the Chiefs. We didn't. But this just feels different. And like that poster back there, it's been 30 years since the 49ers won a Super Bowl. 30 years.
Mm-mm-mm.
And to win tonight, you're talking about being one of the like I watched my UConn Husky men last year, the number one. I watched the women. I watched LeBron. I watched my Braves win it. As an adult, I have not, and that Chris and I, we talked about this, and this is why it's special. I have not watched the 49ers win it as an adult. It means a little more. It really does. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring joy to my heart. I'm telling you, if we win, I'm going to cry. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. And people say it's just a game. Yeah, it's just a game if your fucking team stinks, okay? I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? Losers lose, winners win. Simple as that. Chris, take it away, man. I thank you for letting me go on my diatribe here, but I appreciate it, man. Chris better flip that script, somebody said. I know. Christy said Chris better flip that script.
I wish I could. I really do. I wish I could. You know, I've been saying all week, as a former Niner fan, having a lot of Niner friends, I want this for y'all. I want y'all to feel what I felt in 2015. when Ohio State won the national championship. I want that feeling for y'all. It's funny, too. I'm not a Niner fan, partially because Chip Kelly became the head coach of the 49ers.
And we got him the fuck out of here, Chris. Come back, man.
And now Chip Kelly is the offensive coordinator.
Look at God. Look at God.
For Ohio State.
Look at God.
But to be fair, my love for Ohio State is deeper than my love was for the 49ers. And he's the offensive coordinator and not the head coach. And Trent Baalke isn't involved. So it's a lot. But
with that being said, go ahead, say it. Say it, man. Say it. Say it. You have the Chiefs beating the 49ers.
25-21 Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. I love it. I love it. I love it.
That's what I got. I'm sorry. Nah. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I'm sorry.
Listen, don't be sorry. You have been wrong plenty of times. It's okay. I have the San Francisco 49ers beating the Kansas City Chiefs 31-21.
Big blowout.
That's not a blowout. It's going to be close. I think by the fourth quarter, we're going to figure out the scheme of Patrick Mahomes. I think that Travis Kelce is going to get overwhelmed by Taylor Swift because she's going to be texting him during the fucking game. And he's going to get frustrated. And I think that Brittany Mahomes, she's going to hit Patrick Mahomes with the "we need to talk" text. He's going to be tired of her shit, too. And then it's just going to be too much for them, man.
I just want to say, because it just happened, congratulations to Caitlin Clark. She just broke the NCAA scoring
record.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, and I mean this, bona fide superstar.
Yeah, she is.
Coming. Bona fide.
Can't wait.
So, you know what I mean? And I know, especially when you're chasing records like that, it's stressful.
Yes, it is. That's
just want to get it over with.
I love it. So, yeah, so that's my score, man. 49ers 31, Kansas City Chiefs 21. I think that the 49ers are going to find a way to stop Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce connection. They're going to go back and see all the games that the Chiefs had lost and what was needed to do that. And I just have a little more. I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm nervous, but I just have faith that Kyle Shanahan is going to make me happy today, Chris. He's going to make me happier than my boy Ruck was in DR when he was jet skiing. Okay, that's how happy I want Kyle to make me. All right, that's how happy I need Kyle to make me right now, man.
It's pretty happy. It's pretty happy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, Chris, I'm going to wrap it up here, man. I got to go, and I know you got to go as well. Any final thoughts, man? Christy, thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, brother. Thank you, Christy. No, man, it's going to be a good game, I think. And have a good Super Bowl day, everybody.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Well, listen, with that being said, if the 49ers win, we can come back. If they don't win, I'm not doing the show tonight. Fuck out of here. But with that being said, thanks again for tuning to another edition of Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast. I'm your boy, Professional Sutton.
And I'm your boy, Chris G.
And on behalf of the Rucker Report, Cheers. Peace.
What's up, family? I'm Juan Castillo. And when I'm on social media, my favorite show to watch is the Don't Shoot the Messenger weekly podcast. Chris G, Professional Sutton, Rucker Report delivers sports the way it's supposed to be. Real and authentic. So get ready to be entertained. My boys are ready. I'm ready. Let's go.
The cameras are on. And zeros are on the clock. Get ready for the realest, most authentic, most entertaining sports podcast there is. You may think you know sports, but they know sports and speak the truth. Here to bring you that truth
is your Big Three.
Give it up. For Professional Sutton, Chris G, and the Rucker Report, Jersey. There's nothing to debate when the message is this clear.
Welcome
to the Don't Shoot the Messenger podcast.